on this Jets game day, we were super excited and thrilled to bring to you Chris Jericho, Winnipeg's own Chris Jericho, as he gets ready for AEW All Elite Wrestling coming to Winnipeg on Wednesday, May 1st. Also, because it's Friday, we had our weekly gab with Gabby, and we also gabbed a lot about encampments after City Council passes a vote to help clean up the camps. We also talked a lot about bulky garbage items, the eyesores and the solutions. And on that front, because we were talking about bulky garbage items, we asked you, how have you dealt with big items, whether it's getting them out of your home or getting them in? I'm Brett McGarry alongside Kathy Kennedy this week. It's been a lot of fun working with KK this week. Greg Mackling is back next week. We are McGarry and Kennedy this week, Mackling and McGarry next week. And this is the Friday, April 26th podcast for The Start. It is McGarry and Kennedy, Kathy Kennedy in for Greg Mackling one more time this week. And of course, we got to talk Winnipeg Jets. It's game day as the Stanley Cup playoffs continue. But KK, we just mentioned it in the forecast, wind. And yesterday, as David Phillips from Environment Canada would say, my gosh, it was brutal.
That was an understatement, Brett. You know what? I was looking off my balcony, I think around 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and seriously, it looked like a haboob. I'm telling you right now, it looked like the haboob was rolling into Winnipeg. And, you know, a lot of people thought, is that fog? Is that a rain system moving it? No. It was the dust. It was insane.
It was bad.
Yeah.
A haboob is a type of intense dust storm. And that's what I was walking home in yesterday as I was crossing the Osborne Bridge.
Yep.
Well, first, when I was walking through the legislative grounds, the south wind was just slapping me in the face with all kinds of dust and sand. And there is one point, like, so at... As I cross the ledge grounds and I'm going down the steps on the west side heading towards Osborne, there was a young woman pushing her stroller sort of up the hill beside the steps because there's no ramp there.
Right.
And I'm guessing she's probably done it often.
Yeah.
But she was struggling to – there's a slight incline, a slight angle. She was struggling to keep the stroller upright. The wind was, because it was sick, it was gusting 50 to 67 kilometers an hour yesterday afternoon. And you, what did you say the airport registered?
Yeah, the airport had a gust over 70 yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen worse, but it was still brutal with the combination of the wind and the fact that we have
dust.
So much dust.
Oh, it was terrible. I'm telling you, it was a haboob. Winnipeg haboob. I just like saying that on a Friday morning, Brett McGarry.
Feel free to weigh in on the wind at 204-780-6868. If you were stuck in that yesterday, like trying to work in that would be awful.
Oh, can you imagine?
No.
No.
Much more comfortable inside this comfy studio. Thank you very much. So hats off to all who work outdoors. And yes, Jets game day. They are back in action tonight in Colorado.
Woo-woo!
9 o'clock start.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just going, whoop, whoop.
Oh, you're not going to make a proclamation this time?
Yes, I am, because I'm not superstitious. And you know what? I think the Jets learned a lot the other night, and they're going to come back and look out, Avalanche.
There you go. Yeah, that was our question of the day earlier this week. Question of the day for Mr. Furness. Don't call them first. You'll see why. Call Mr. Furness at 204-832-6243. And the question was, CJOB's Kathy Kennedy has proclaimed the Jets will be victorious on Tuesday night. But some are superstitious about this kind of proclamation. What say you? But 60% said I admire KK's confidence and agree with her. And 40% said, shut it, KK. I'm with you. I'm not a jinx kind of person.
No, me either. And you know what? If you don't have confidence in your team, what are you doing? You know, of course the Jets are going to win.
And you're right. They had to have learned a lot the other night, and because Colorado is They're a recent Stanley Cup champion. They're not just going to roll over, and the Jets need to hammer down. And that second period where they allowed three goals in 5 minutes, that's the kind of breakdown that just can't happen tonight. No. So at 7:55, we're going to hear from John Shannon with our Friday Jets report. And then at 8:10, just after 8:10, Cam Poitras will have your keys to the game. And just a heads up that today is your last chance to qualify for the playoff payoff.
Oh, yes.
So you'll have an opportunity with us at 7:15. We'll give you the code word then. Hal Anderson will give you another code word during Connecting Winnipeg. Jim Toth Show's got one. And the news with Rich and Julie will have the anchor leg on this. They will have the final code word for a chance to win a 65-inch TV from Visions Electronics. And it will announce the winner on Monday. And actually, you know what? That kind of ties in with one of the things we're talking about today is bulky items.
Yeah.
At 7:05, we're going to talk about bulky garbage items and the eyesores and solutions. But at 6:45, we want to have a bit more fun with the topic and talk about dealing with big items, getting them out or getting them in. And talk about a 65-inch TV or anything. Have you ever gone to the store and bought something and thought, that'll fit in the car?
Yeah.
And then you get see the box it's in.
Yeah. And then you go, okay, now I'm in trouble. Yeah. Yeah. That's happened. Walmart knows.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. And so you end up having to call a friend that has a pickup truck, you know, and, but yeah, I mean that I'm sure Brett that's happened to lots of people, because you know, you look at the item and you go, yeah, that'll fit. And then as you say, when you get the box, all the packaging, all the styrofoam and stuff, it becomes twice the size, mm-hmm. and you're in trouble.
Yeah, because when I had my, I have a 65-inch TV, and it's, so that 65 inches diagonally, it's 5 feet across, or just under 5 feet, it's 57 inches across, I measured yesterday. I was curious. And so that's big, and that I could probably fit that in my car, but when they delivered the TV... The box was at least 7 feet wide, if not 8 feet.
Really?
It was gigantic. And it took me, I bet you, half an hour to break the box down. Like when I took it downstairs.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to chuck it in the recycling bin, and because that would gobble up the whole bin. So I just sat there for half an hour, slowly tearing it into 1,000 pieces.
Wow.
But it was huge.
You are so nice. I just would have chucked it. I'm just telling you.
It's McGarry and Kennedy. Greg Mackling's been off this week. Kathy Kennedy filling in. Just want to give you a heads up on a couple of the highlights throughout the morning. Our final playoff payoff qualifier code word is coming at 7:15 for a chance to win a 65-inch TV, Sony 4K TV from Visions Electronics. But you will have further opportunities with Hal on Connecting Winnipeg on the Jim Toth Show. And the final code word will be revealed on the news with Rich and Julie. Also, because it's Friday, our weekly Gab with Gabby. Gabrielle Marchand from Global News Morning joins us at 9:05 every week. And then KK at 9:35. We've been excited about this all week. Who is joining us?
The one, the only former Winnipegger, but now superstar on so many fronts, actually. Chris Jericho is going to join us.
One of the biggest stars in the history of professional wrestling. One of the most dynamic performers on planet Earth of any kind.
Plus a musician and a singer.
Yeah.
You know, and podcast host and book writer. And I mean, it goes on and on.
So can't wait to have a chat with Chris Jericho. But as we've been telling you in global news, a pilot project to offer garbage collection at encampments passed unanimously at City Council yesterday afternoon. But many are speaking out to say this is not even close to doing enough. On the news yesterday afternoon with Richard Kluche and Julie Buckingham, Rich provided this feedback he'd received.
Laurie Nealon of Mayberry Galleries. Richard, it's not as much about the garbage in the East Exchange as it is about the destruction of the protected urban forest and park. Other cities do not allow encampments in places like that, but for some reason, Winnipeg City Council thinks they have to do that to respect human rights. Trees will continue to be cut down for firewood and structural supports, while new growth, the next generation of trees, will be burned by out-of-control fires and trampled by foot traffic, including the feet of garbage cleanup crews. Again in the fall, there will be massive destruction. decapitated trees, broken limbs, uprooted saplings, chewed up ground cover when heavy machinery moves in to remove abandoned structures once again.
Rich and Julie also spoke with a resident in the Exchange District, his name, John Gavadoni, who expressed his concerns and pointed to what they're doing in other regions.
Homelessness is a huge issue, and this is not something that's going to be solved in a year or 2 years or many years. But encampments really is a symptom of the issue. The material that went to the councillors today included analysis of two other jurisdictions, Victoria and Halifax. And it was interesting to note that while they supported encampments, you know, to provide for the, you know, a human right for shelter, they only support encampments in designated areas. So they designate certain parks or certain areas of parks for encampments. And Victoria, as they open up more shelter areas, they de-designate parks for encampments. So they're trying to balance the need for an encampment and the need for shelter. And as shelter becomes available, proper housing with proper services for the people, then they de-designate park areas for encampments. And that to me is a balanced approach. But I think City Council has adopted a, we're going to provide once a week garbage pickup. And I think, you know, that puts a checkbox. We've done something for the encampments and we've done something for homeless. And I think it's way too little.
John was on at 5:35 yesterday. You can find it in our audio vault at cjob.com. Also, Brett, the province is planning on making a housing announcement at 9 a.m. today.
This encampment situation, as he pointed out, homelessness is obviously a complex issue, and the encampments is a complex issue. It's not something that's going to go away. So we can't just simply say, get out and don't come back.
Yeah.
I know you can't do that. But I like this idea of designating certain spots, because at some point we have to be able to say, look, I know times are tough for you right now, but you can't be here.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like whack-a-mole when these encampments get cleaned up. For an example, in my backyard, and I'm sure it's like this in your backyard, wherever that may be in Winnipeg, as I walk home, I cross the Osborne Bridge, and there is often an encampment set up on the bank of the Assiniboine River, right beside the bridge, just as you start to walk over the Assiniboine River.
Yeah.
Last summer, there was a camp there for the bulk of the spring and summer. And it wasn't huge, but it was big enough and noticeable enough. And it became quite a mess.
Right.
And at some point, one day I was walking by and there was a crew that was there cleaning it up. And it looked like there was evidence of fire, like that a tree had been damaged by fire. And they spent a couple of days cleaning it up, and then it was clear for one day. And then a day later, I'm walking by, and a new camp had sprung up.
Wow.
It was almost as though nothing happened. So again, I feel for these people who have made the choice to seek shelter in an encampment.
Sure.
But should we as a city not be able to say, you can't be here, but you can be here?
And I think that's a really good point to make, Brett, because there are safety concerns. I mean, you know, for a long time, there was an encampment down below the Maryland Bridge, and there were fires constantly.
Yeah.
I would look off my balcony, and I swear, once, twice a week, crews were having to go and tend to fires. So there's the safety issue. There's the ecological issue, because a lot of that garbage is not being picked up. It's being thrown into the river. And look, our rivers are bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, you know, trees being felled. So we have to figure something out. And I like the idea of having certain designated areas. Mm-hmm. I think that's smart.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's the same with the bus shelters that are used as shelters. And I don't know what the process is on this, but for example, there is a bus shelter on Graham right in front of the library that is quite often being used as a shelter. And I walked by it a few days ago, and there was a crew there that was cleaning it out. Like, the whole thing was covered in soap, and they were washing it out.
Right.
And the people who had been using it were not around. So I don't know if this was a thing where the crew came in and said, look, we got to clean this up, and you can come back. Or if it's a situation where they say, okay, get out. We got to clean this. This is a bus shelter.
Yeah.
But the next day, it was right back to where it was.
And again, you know, I know this is a tricky situation, but I just can't help but think of seniors who need that shelter, especially in the winter. And
they're
too afraid to go in. It just, we have to we are better than this, Brett. We're better than this. We need to figure it out.
You can weigh in at 204-780-6868 because there's no easy solution here. So hopefully we'll get something good from this housing announcement from the province at 9 o'clock. It's McGarry and Kennedy, KKN from Ackling this week. Another listener text saying dead semi on Archibald, 100 meters before Plinget, northbound. So again, dead semi on Archibald, 100 meters before Plinget, northbound. This will be an issue soon. Right lane is single lane. Oh boy. We got Whiteout Party tickets to give away for Tuesday's game, for game 5, when the Jets in Colorado return. They're in action tonight in game 3. And we're tying this in. We're at 7:05. We're going to have a more serious discussion about big garbage items and the eyesores that it creates and the potential fire hazards and safety concerns. But right now, let's take a lighter look at the situation. We want to ask you about how have you dealt with big items, whether it's getting them out and getting rid of them or trying to get them in. We talked earlier about the TVs, KK.
Yeah.
Like, the 65-inch TV is already big.
Yeah.
The box it comes in is gigantic. And I know somebody who, back in like 2008, when they bought their first HD TV, it was a 42-inch.
Yeah.
So, like, not small, but like big enough, like not the biggest TV, but it's not small. Certainly small enough to fit in a car. At least that's what they thought.
Yeah.
And then they and their friend got to the car, which was a 2-door Chevy Cobalt.
Oh.
And they had to take the TV out of the box in the parking lot. To get it into the car.
Wow. I'm happy the TV worked, because that would have sucked if that was not the case.
Great TV. So the big items, how do you deal with them? Getting them in or out? 204-780-6868. Cameron Poitras, let's begin with you.
Well, I always think I can make it fit in my little Corolla. Oh, yeah, that'll fit. Oh, easy. And I'm almost every single time wrong. I keep a toolkit in my back in my trunk now because I have to take things apart routinely. You think I would learn, so I have to like bust out the Allen key set, get my the Phillips out of the trunk and like literally have to take things apart and then put them in piece by piece and then reassemble them. And that's happened several times. I have to borrow my nephew's van every now and then, which he's 20 years old. So, you know, nailing him down and getting anything.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. So not exactly. Well, he's 20. So I don't want to like go after him or anything like that. He's a 20-year-old kid. I was the same when I was 20. It's a constant struggle.
I love the toolkit, though.
With the 2017 Corolla.
Skylar Peters.
Well, this is perfect timing, Brett, because it is a rite of passage in the spring. My first trip home back to Brandon in a little while, whenever that is, which is today for me after the shift. I will take winter jackets, Christmas tree, Christmas decorations, hockey bag, and other assorted things that I don't really want in my apartment for the next 6 months, take them to mom and dad's, throw them in the garage, and they're out of my way. So pretty sure mom and dad are aware of what's going on, and hopefully some
room, now.
Room has been made. I'm sure my dad's listening right now. But
are you picking up the summer car? Because Skylar,
the summer car is already going, man, and it is also a two door. It's a little thing, so I can't take. The one thing I'd like to take is my old barbecue because I'm getting a new one, much smaller one, and I do need a, you know, a 20-year-old nephew with a van or something like that. So
if anyone make a call,
it's useful when he gets back to you.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm going to put it, if anyone wants, you know, to help a poor radio host out, I can supply like six nice cold lagers for you while we move this barbecue to the dump sometime.
Forte, what about you?
Moving day, moving into my apartment like over 5 years ago. I'm telling you, it's such a pain getting like a couch into the elevator. It's just, you have to lean it up. You have to stand it upright. And it's just such a pain to get it in there. It's a pain to get it out. And then moving it into my apartment, my front closet comes out and there's like a little corner piece. And I don't know if it was the couch. I don't know if it was the table or what we moved into my place. But at the end of the day, I look and I was like, uh-oh. There's a little chip in the corner there. There's a chip of paint, so that's totally out. And I was like, it's my first day. Wonder if we're going to get my deposit back there. You know? Day one.
Soon to be joined by many more chips in the paint.
Yeah.
And what about you, KK?
You know what? I'm glad Skylar brought up the barbecue because that just made me think of a story. I picked up a barbecue at Home Depot several years ago, and I have a hatchback, and I'm thinking, no problem. And then the box came out, and the guy was trying to help me make it fit. It was half an hour trying to get this thing in. Finally got it in, wasn't able to close the door, put a quick, you know, little rope on it. Got home, couldn't get it out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. 1-800, need some help. Hi, friends. Remember me?
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And then I had to clean out my dad's apartment last year. And I just got smart. I just made a phone call and said, listen, there's all this furniture, all this stuff. I'm not going to haul it away. You come and get it. You know, MCC has that
totally
service. And, you know, you're helping out a good cause and you don't have to deal with the grief. So there you go.
204-780-6868. Dealing with the big things, getting them in or getting them out. And here's one more example. First time I went to IKEA, we bought a whole bunch of stuff thinking, this will be fine. It'll be fine. We'll make this all fit into our Chevrolet Cruze. We didn't figure it out. We had to Tetris it into that, put the seats down from the trunk. But I had my seat like up so far that the steering wheel was in my chest.
Done that before.
Oh,
I was like that tall guy in The Simpsons. Are you making fun of the size of my automobile? I looked like a clown. It was so unsafe. I should have, if a cop had passed me, I'm sure they would have pulled me over.
Oh,
I learned a lesson that day. Do not, you got to be better at planning that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It is McGarry and Kennedy. Mackling is off this week. Our next playoff payoff code word comes in our next segment. That'll be our final playoff payoff code word. But there will be three more opportunities. Hal Anderson has a code word on Connecting Winnipeg. The Jim Toth Show will have one. And the final one will be unveiled on the news with Rich and Julie. And we will pick the winner of the 65-inch TV from Visions Electronics on Monday.
Hey, and maybe we should try and deliver it.
It fits right in with what we're talking about today. And in a moment, we'll explain why we're discussing the bulky items and garbage. But we are asking you at 204-780-6868 for a chance to win the Whiteout Party tickets for Tuesday's game, for Game 5, about dealing with the big items, either getting them in or getting them out. Yeah. And KK, you flagged a story from listener David A.
Yeah, he says, my moving in story to this day, I don't know how the heck I did it, but me and my best friend drove to Steinbach to pick up a bed set for him. And I believe it was a queen size set. And I had a little white 2009 Crown Victoria Police Interceptor. Now, listen, those aren't so little. Those are big. Those are fairly big cars.
Yeah.
We dismantled the bed frame. We had the box spring in the mattress, and we must have just woke up that day and decided today's the day we are going to be Tetris Masters, because we made it all fit in my car and drove all the way back to Winnipeg with it. Like Brett said, if I had passed a cop, I was probably going to get pulled over because I couldn't see out of my back window or side mirrors. It was front windshield, and that's it.
David, thank you for sharing that. This is going to be fun talking about this today. So keep those coming. We're going to pick a winner for the Whiteout Party tickets at 9:15. But the inspiration for this topic comes from something that Loren McNabb and Hal Anderson. Loren's going to join Hal Anderson on Connecting Winnipeg, and they're going to kick this off sort of proper. We're sort of like the recon flight for this topic. We're the precursor.
Right.
But they're going to be talking about bulky garbage items, the eyesore, and the solutions, because this is an annual annoyance for many. Mattresses left in back lanes, garbage strewn across streets and yards. In Point Douglas, it's a constant. So Loren actually met with a resident who is just steamed about what she sees in her neighborhood and her ask to the city to do more than just pickups for a fee. So that just got us thinking of, like, yeah, this is a Point Douglas specific interview that Loren has done today. But this is not a Point Douglas specific issue.
What do you do with those big items that you no longer have use for and that perhaps aren't good enough, you know, to be donated? So if you're going to put them in the garbage, what do you do? Do you take a drive to the dump like most people should do?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently in some areas, people just dump them. And Brett, you know what? It just, to me, it boggles my mind that people would do that. You know, what about thinking about your fellow neighbor? And what about thinking about even the environment? Where's decency gone?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I may sound really like an old fuddy-duddy, but seriously, where has decency gone? Like, I would never think of dumping a mattress or anything for that matter, on someone else's property. You know, if you need to get rid of something, do it properly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's where it gets complicated, right? Because if I had to get rid of it, like when I bought my bed 10 years ago, I was thankful that, and it was through Sleep Country. I don't know if this is something they still do, but they took my old bed.
Well, and most places do that, Brad.
They wouldn't take my bed frame, but it was a double.
Yeah.
So I was able to. And I just had like that basic metal frame.
Yep.
And I was able to take that apart and I donated it to, I can't remember what it's called, but I don't know if it's still there even, but there was a place on Provence near Archibald that accepted donations for newcomers
right
to Canada. So that's where I took my bed frame when I got rid of it, but they took my old bed. So I was thankful for that. But there was another situation where a few years ago I was dating somebody. And we bought a new couch.
Yep.
It was a big one, a big sectional, like with a chaise. It was almost like a full horseshoe. And we bought it. So she had two old, beat up old couches. Like you mentioned, not good enough for a donation.
Yeah.
These were good for the garbage. And we bought a new bed. She had a king size bed. We bought a new king size bed. And we're like, okay, this is great. And we didn't really stop to think about, okay, the delivery's coming on Monday. It's now Sunday afternoon.
Oh, no.
And, like, if it was just a bed, we probably could have moved that bed out and dealt with it if we had to keep
sure.
it. But where are we going to put two couches and a king-size bed? Like, we had to get rid of this stuff.
So what did you do?
We found some I can't remember the name of the company, but it was a service that came and picked up the couches. Because I guess when they dropped off the bed, they took the old bed, but the couches, we were on our own for that.
Right.
We didn't have the means to get, we didn't like, I drive a cruise. She was driving a car. Like we didn't have a way to get these things to the dump or somewhere. So we called the service. I think it cost $100 or whatever, but not everybody can afford to do that.
Well, that's the problem. Not everybody has a vehicle, has a proper vehicle that is big enough to load this stuff and C then doesn't have the money. So I understand it's a betwixt in between, but then, you know, the solution being I'm going to go dump it on someone else's property. Brett, I don't understand what's happened to society.
I lived in the Lord Harrow Apartments for 5 years at the corner of Corydon and Harrow, right beside the Prince Harrow Apartments and across the street from Lady Harrow. And I loved living there, but there, and this is not a knock on the building. I'm not calling the building out first. I'm just identifying where I was in Winnipeg. And like I said, this could be anywhere in the city. This happened to be at Corydon and Harrow, and I would say 90% of those 5 years, there was a mattress on the ground behind the buildings, just because somebody would, that's their solution. I'm just going to throw this away. Not my problem anymore. It's McGarry and Kennedy. Mackling is off this week. In a moment, we'll do what we always do on Fridays just after 9 o'clock. But last chance, we've got whiteout party tickets to give away for Tuesday. And we're asking you, how have you dealt with the big items? Either trying to get them out or get them into your home. Phil says, true story, 4x8 plywood, cut in half, still would not fit in my car at Home Depot. Good Samaritan offered to drive it home for me. He got to my house before I got there, dropped it off, and left. I couldn't even thank him.
What?
Phil says, there is still goodness in this world.
Isn't that amazing?
That's kind.
That's beyond kind.
Hopefully he didn't get there a lot sooner than Phil did, though. Like, just here, leave the plywood on the lawn and someone else comes and takes it.
Don't say that. You're ruining it, McGarry. It's a nice story.
It's a very nice story, Phil. Thanks for sharing. So we'll pick a winner at 9:15. In the meantime, KK, Greg usually brings on our next guest. Would you like to fill that in?
I would love to have the absolute privilege and honor, because this lady has been a dear friend of mine for many years now, right?
Yeah.
It is the one and only Gabrielle Marchand, or as we like to call her, Gabby. Host of a Global Morning News, and she's in studio with her beautiful eyes looking at me.
Oh, that was so lovely. I love you too, KK. I'm so delighted to be here with
you. She's my queen.
She's my queen too. So sorry. I hope you don't feel
I'm
left
the court
out.
Jester.
Yeah, how's maybe. That? How about that?
Oh, nice. I like it.
That's a good role.
Yeah.
So one of the things we talked about this week, Gabby, is critters or bugs that make you run. So what you got?
Well, I am honestly fearful of many insects. I'm not really a big fan of spiders. If they have those juicy bodies, if their bodies are juicy and hairy, I'm out.
Yeah.
But I lived in Brazil for a bit. A lot of cockroaches there. If anybody is watching Fallout, by the way, on Amazon Prime, they have
these
the cockroaches that have taken in so much radiation, they become big and they pack and they attack people. That is my nightmare. Like, that is my absolute nightmare. And the thing is, cockroaches do make a sound.
Yes.
So sometimes you'd be laying in bed at night, as I'm sure anybody who's been on vacation has experienced, and you'll hear that like, and then you just know they're coming for you. You know, when people, they praise cockroaches, they'd survive a nuclear apocalypse. Maybe that's not a good thing.
Right?
Think about it.
I'm kind of with you on that one. We can rid the planet of cockroaches. Like, what's the point? What's the purpose, okay?
Lose them. Do they serve a purpose?
No.
Spiders do.
There's got to be a reason. They all have a reason to exist.
I know, it's the whole symbiotic blah, 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 blah. Roaches are not in the symbiotic system, I'm telling you.
I know. They are the worst, though.
Icky.
Have you dealt with big, we were talking about the big items.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, so I admit these things on the show because then, this was many years ago. This was bad behavior. I accept that. But I used to move a lot. And so sometimes when I'd move, if an item was too big or heavy, I'd almost do like that curbside giveaway, but not when you were supposed to. Like, I'd just be like, maybe I'll just leave this out in the hallway of my apartment and see if somebody takes it. You know, there's this really heavy mirror. What if I just left it out there in the hallway and maybe somebody wants it and they'll just take it? Like, it's very lazy, but I used to sort of do that every now and then. And I've done a lot of moving lately and I've just been, I hate
it. It's
moving.
Gabby's couch on Harrow.
What does it look like?
Yeah, well, and I bet you that happens a lot though, Gabby. And I don't think that's lazy. And even when I sold my house 10 years ago, my ex had this beautiful dresser. Like, it was a really nice dresser with a big mirror on it, but it was a big, heavy piece of furniture. And like, I told her, like, you've still got some stuff here. You got to get this stuff out of the house. And she tried and failed. So like, I come home the day that I was expecting this thing to be gone, and I walk in the room and there it still sits.
And I'm like, geez, what am I going to do with this now? And I just said, to hell with it. So I left a note on the dresser for the new owners and said, hey, I hope you can use this because it's a lovely piece of furniture. I can't get it out, or I don't have the means to get rid of it. And enjoy. if you don't want it, then sell it for beer money.
Yeah.
And you know what, Brett, can I tell you, cause one of my dearest friends is a real estate agent. That happens more than you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, you know, they expect to walk into this clean house and, oh wait, there's the dresser and there's the couch. They couldn't get up the stairs.
Yeah.
And, with a note. So you aren't alone in that regard.
Is that a problem? Like, does the realtor say people complain?
You know what? Some people like it. Some people don't. Yeah.
I guess if you like the furniture, but then if you don't, you have to get rid of it. Right?
Yeah. Then it's your problem. Yeah. It's become your problem.
Why are dressers so? The last dresser that I got rid of, we ended up just sawing it into pieces because we gave up. Moving it was too heavy. We just sawed it down into pieces. I guess this will just become garbage now because it was so heavy. Dressers are the bane of moving existence.
That's true. You're right. Terrible. When I moved my dad last year, he had a monster dresser too. And again, I just called MCC and said, just come and get this behemoth.
Yeah.
And, somebody else can get tagged with it.
It's actually true. Goodwill also, I found out recently, Goodwill picks up too. They do delivery, like they pick up days. And so there's all kinds of organizations who are willing to just donate it if you're in good condition.
And they've got some fancy rigs if they've got to carry things like out down from the basement, heavy items. I can't remember what the item was, but also from that house, these guys came in and they had some sort of rig on their back that came with like a rat, I don't know, some sort of a clasp thing that allowed them to tighten the cables around it. And because this thing that weighed like 200 pounds that they were taking out, but it protected their backs and allowed it kept the furniture.
And you know what else I love? I love people who are crafty, like who can take something like the old dresser and turn it into something
repurpose it.
Yeah.
What you're describing, I'm picturing Adam Big Hill towing that semi. Like, is that what, I'm just like picturing Adam Big Hill towing that semi for charity, kind of like that, right?
Kind of. Okay.
Yeah. But with a big dresser, like, Adam Big Hill, come get my dresser, please.
He could probably pick it up with one hand.
Yeah, no doubt.
Gabrielle Marchand is the host of Global News Morning, weekdays 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Global Winnipeg. Always a pleasure, Gabby. Thank you.
Happy Friday.
So we're asking you this morning for a chance to win a 4-pack for the Whiteout Party on Tuesday. We're asking you about the big items. How did you deal with them? Either getting them out of your home or getting them in. And one of our runners up here, Don, this is a heartbreaker. Don says, one of my friends built a repaired pipe organ as a hobby. Built and repaired pipe organs as a hobby. And over the course of 8 years, he built a beautiful pipe organ from scratch.
Wow.
Always mindful to ensure if and when they moved, it would fit. When the time to move came, renovations to the stairs from the basement would not allow the organ to be removed. The new owners did not want the organ, so we unfortunately had to destroy it to get it out of the house. There were plenty of tears all around that day.
Oh, that is a story. Oh, Don, so sorry.
That sucks.
That sucks big time.
How about we jump to Linda's story?
Okay. Linda says, this story is not mine. It was my sister's. She and her husband finally saved up enough money to buy themselves new furniture. They custom ordered it special from Dufresne because their house only had one door and a strange configuration. So they knew it had to be the right size. Now, the day of delivery, the couch would not fit through the door. But you had to immediately turn to get to the living room. And guess what? Another story of they couldn't pivot. So they could go straight down to the basement, but they wanted the good furniture in the living room. They ended up taking out their kitchen window, called some friends to lift the couch up over their heads through the kitchen window to more friends on the inside. I figured they would sell the furniture with the house when they moved, but they didn't. They just took it back out the kitchen window.
That's got to, I mean, I wasn't that like sort of standard fare back in the old days?
Yes.
If you wanted to get furniture upstairs, you'd hoist it up and bring it through the window.
Yep.
Because a lot of these staircases are tight. Like my sister had a house and couldn't get her bed frame up the stairs because it was an older house. And it was like this windy sort of staircase to get up. And it just, I could barely get up the stairs. Never mind a bed frame.
Right.
Yeah. But our winner today is Dave Brown, who says, I bought a bed for my son off Kijiji. My brother and I drove out to East St. Paul to pick it up. We discovered that we had to remove the door frame of this person's home just to get it out of the house. Oof. After about 45 minutes of finagling, we managed to get the bed out and in the truck. We also replaced the door frame. We drove it back to St. Boniface, managed to get it up the stairs toward my son's room. All the measurements seemed to suggest it would fit. Honest to God.
But here comes the but. When we tried to get it into my son's room after having removed his door and door frame, we still managed to get it stuck, like really stuck. In trying to unstick the bed, guess what? Broke the bed. We decided to give up and take it out again. However, we couldn't move it, so we had to cut it in half with my Sawzall. Then I needed to do some repairs on my son's door. At the end of the day, I paid a decent amount of money to move a bed out of somebody's house and take it to the landfill at the other end of the city. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You know, the
Dave Brown, you poor man. Like, oh.
That's such a great, I mean, it's such a painful story.
It's a painful story, but like you can just, I don't know about you, Brenda, but I'm just thinking in my head as I'm reading this, like just the agony of defeat.
Dave, congratulations. You win the tickets for the whiteout party. And guess what? We are not the only ones who have passes for the whiteout party today. That's right. You have the opportunity to win some Winnipeg Whiteout Street Party tickets on Connecting Winnipeg with Hal Anderson on the Jim Toth Show and the news on 680 CJOB. And a reminder that they've also got code words for the playoff payoff to win a 65-inch TV. KK, what's coming up in sports?
You know what? I could tell you that, Brett, if I didn't, you know, just hit the button.
As I was saying it, I thought, oh, I'm potentially walking Kathy Kennedy into an ambush here. So I'm sorry for that.
No, it's my fault.
Who does the Jets head coach need more from? Poitras has the answer next on CJOB.
Oh, too good.
Earlier this week, when you told me what you had lined up for Friday at 9:35, I said, hip, hip, huzzah for Kathy Kennedy.
Well, no wonder why, because he's a former Winnipegger who has certainly made it big on the world stage, whether it's entertaining wrestling crowds to music audiences to listeners of his podcast. He has done this city proud and so pleased this morning to welcome Chris Jericho to 680 CJOB. Good morning, my friend. How are you, sir?
Good morning. And are you ever a former Winnipegger? I think you're a Winnipegger for life.
Yes.
I still consider myself to be a Winnipegger no matter where I actually live.
Excellent. That's true. We're glad to hear it. Chris Jericho, and we're glad to be talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning ahead of your appearance in Winnipeg next week with AEW. And before we talk about AEW, I wanted to ask you, because you're one of the greatest performers in the history of professional wrestling. You were always so amazing at, and you are, continue to be amazing at connecting with the fans and interacting with the fans. So I'm just wondering if you can, for those who maybe don't quite get professional wrestling, can you talk about that unique relationship with the fans and how integral they are to professional wrestling, regardless of which promotion it is?
Well, it's the part of performing live, no matter what you're doing, whether it's, you know, if you don't quite understand pro wrestling, maybe you understand music. If you don't quite understand music, maybe you understand live comedy or going to a play, for example. The most important thing when you're performing live is connecting with the audience, enveloping them and capturing their interest into what it is you're doing when you're on the stage. If you can do that, you'll always have a gig, because that's the secret to live entertaining. Like I said, is really capturing people's attention and really connecting with them. And once you can do that, you're home free. It's not the easiest thing to do, but it definitely is the secret to live performance, is connecting with the live audience and making sure that they get involved and have a great time in what it is that you're doing.
Now, I've gotten back into wrestling a little bit since I saw your show in Winnipeg last year. It was a great show. And what I'm noticing, it seems like the fans today in professional wrestling are as raucous and as interactive, if maybe even more
than ever. So just wondering, like, what's driving that in your opinion?
I mean, it's just excitement. I mean, if you talk about, you know, the kind of like the best way to use an example is like the whiteout going on right now with the Jets in the playoffs. I mean, there's just a certain vibe about it, a certain excitement about it that makes you get extra involved. That's kind of what it's like with wrestling. I mean, it really is the combination of rock and roll and a great playoff hockey game and lasers and lights and explosions and all that sort of thing. So when you go to a show, it's almost like going to a playoff game. You might not even really know what that even experience is like until you go and you go, oh my gosh, it was so much crazier than I expected, so much more fun than I expected if you aren't quite into it. So there's just an energy level that happens when you go to a live AEW show that's different from even watching it on TV. It really does kind of suck you into the whole electricity of it. And that's something that you have to be there to experience. And once you are, it's very addictive and you very much want to go back again a second time, a third time, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. KK's got some questions about music for you coming up in a moment, but we have to talk about what can we expect on Wednesday at Canada Life Center?
Well, the match was announced of Jericho versus Shibata, one of the legendary Japanese wrestlers that we have in AEW, in a FTW rules match, which is kind of a no rules match. I'm the FTW champion right now at this point in time, so it should be pretty crazy. It's the first kind of hardcore, no rules, street fight type of match that I've ever had in Winnipeg. And it's going to be exciting and crazy and wild and fun. And I'm looking forward to it. Last year I was in a multi-man tag team match. This year, having a single match to defend the FTW championship is a big deal, something I wanted to do in Winnipeg and have some fun with it. So it's going to be wild and crazy. It's going to be very Jericho. It's going to be very Winnipeg. Nobody knows more about street fights than the people of Winnipeg. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun on Wednesday.
And you know what, Chris? We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But before we do, I have to ask you about Fozzy because, people may not realize, I find it highly unlikely, but you have this incredible group called Fozzy. And first and foremost, tell us a little bit about where the name Fozzy came from, for those who don't know.
It's 25 years ago, we had a cover band called Fozzy Osbourne. And when we signed our first record deal, we dropped the Osbourne and just became Fozzy. And here we are now in 2024 with 6 top 10 rock radio hits in the States. We got a gold record for our song Judas, which I heard is well on the way to platinum now at this point in time, which would be 1 million sales of that tune. Our song Spotlight, which you played when you brought me on the show, just passed 100,000 plays on rock radio, and it's my new theme song in AEW. So we've got a lot of great stuff happening. We just came back from the UK where we do really good biz. We're getting ready to do our 25th anniversary tour, which starts in October. And that'll be a worldwide thing. So it's become quite a big deal for us and for the band to get to the level that we're at. And it's been quite a great journey. And it's cool to kind of see the band being bigger than we've ever been 25 years into our existence.
Chris, as a guy growing up in Westwood and, you know, going to Georgie's to see the local rock bands of the day and to now be sharing a stage with bands like Slayer and Slipknot and Motley Crue and Judas Priest, the list goes on and on. I mean, do you ever still have those pinch me moments?
Yeah, I mean, all the time. I think we opened for Iron Maiden about 4 years ago in Los Angeles at a stadium there, a stadium show. And we were direct support, which means it's Fozzy and then Iron Maiden. And that was kind of the coolest pinch me moment that I've had in a while, where it's like I remember, you know, waiting outside the Winnipeg Arena, the old barn, hoping to see, you know, Iron Maiden walk inside in the afternoon, skipping school to try and meet Bruce Dickinson at CJOB, actually, right where the station was, right across from the arena, kind of hanging out outside the station and hope to get a glimpse of the singer of Iron Maiden. And here we are, you know, 30-odd years later, opening for them in a stadium. It was a really, really cool moment. You still get those from time to time. But, you know, we played Wembley Stadium last year in front of 81,000 people, which was crazy. We just had the biggest headlining show ever that we've ever had in Birmingham, England, just a few months ago. So, like I said, anytime you get those types of moments, it really is a pinch me moment. I mean, just looking at the gold record on my wall right now, It's amazing to me to know that, you know, we started off playing in a high school band called Scimitar in Westwood and doing shows at, you know, the local youth clubs and all that sort of thing that were going on in Winnipeg at the time. So it's just kind of really cool to see how far I was able to take it. You know, at the professional level.
Well, and not only touring the world, you have a cruise. Tell us about the cruise.
Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. We're getting ready for our fifth voyage, which will be in February of 2025. Actually, it'll be the sixth voyage. We just finished the fifth one a few months ago here in 2024. And it's just something when we played the Kiss cruise, when Fozzy played the Kiss cruise a few years ago, as soon as we kind of docked, I was like, I can do this. I can do my own wrestling cruise and rock and roll cruise, combine the two things that I love. And that's kind of what I did. It took a while to get it rolling. But here we are, like I said, getting ready to, I think we're like 85% sold out for the sixth cruise, and we haven't even announced the lineup yet. So it's just kind of a certain vibe that I've put together of great bands and wrestling matches at sea and comedians and the paranormal involvement and all those sort of things combined. So it's become, another really cool thing that I was able to put together for the people that enjoy my work. I take great pride in the fact that I kind of come up with some really cool things that people get a chance to go and have a great time and enjoy themselves. And the Jericho Cruise is another one of those things.
Chris Jericho, before we let you go, we got to ask you a couple of Winnipeg questions. One thing I'm curious about is, you know, you proudly declared yourself a Winnipegger. I'm wondering if you still feel any old ties to rivalries. And I want to give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, somebody reached out to me and said, hey, can you mention this 40th anniversary coming up for the 1984 class at Murdoch McKay? And my immediate reaction as someone who went to school next door at Collège Pierre-Trudeau, and I graduated in 1995, but even 30 years later, my first reaction was, how dare you ask me to support Murdoch McKay? So I'm wondering, do you still have any of those rivalries that jump to mind?
It's funny because, you know, my kids, actually my daughters are just, they're in their senior year right now, grade 12. But the schools are so spread out. I live in Tampa. Whereas when I lived, you know, in Winnipeg, you had Westwood Collegiate, you had John Taylor, you had Sturgeon Creek was down the road. You had like so many like high schools that were all in a similar area. And there was rivalry. I mean, when Westwood and John Taylor and that sort of thing are like, oh, this guy goes to Calvin, or, you know, this guy's going to, St. John's Ravenscourt or whatever. All those guys are the rich guys. You know, but you kind of get the inter-school rivalries just because you'd go, you know, in Westwood, we'd go hang out at the 7-Eleven McDonald's, you know, right by DJ's there, which is still the best pizza in the world. I love DJ's pizza. I'll probably pop in next week for sure to grab one when I'm in town. But, I mean, you'd go hang out at the 7-Eleven. You'd see all this, you know, amalgamation of all these kids from different schools. And at first, like you said, all the John Taylor guys, those guys are snobs. You know, and then you'd sort of maybe hang out a little bit more and then get a little bit of, oh, these guys are actually pretty cool. But it was a good time when you could just walk around everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, I'm never cold. People go, how are you not cold? It's like, well, because we used to just steal a bottle of vodka from our dad's liquor cabinet. They walk in the street in February. You know, you'd be walking the streets in February. That's your Saturday night entertainment. Like, what are we doing? There's nowhere to go. It's freezing. But who cares? You know, that's kind of the Winnipeg way. So it was a great way to grow up and a great way to kind of make sure that you really kind of toughen yourself to the wind and the weather by just wandering around the streets talking about music and whatever else. So Winnipeg, great city, man. I still love it to this day.
Is there, Chris, you know, you mentioned DJs. Is there a place that is a go-to for sure when you come home that you have to go to?
I mean, DJs is one. I mean, I always like staying at the Fairmount downtown now. But yeah, I mean, there's whatever's going on. You know, there's Solid Golds. This is a cool place that's right down by the Fairmount. That's fun to go hang out. We always like going to the Palomino when we're in town. You know, because whenever I come, a couple of my friends will fly in. Red Cup Jeff's coming in from Las Vegas.
Oh, no.
A couple of the dudes coming in. Yeah, so we always kind of make a party of it and bring my dad, Teddy Irvin. He lives out in Gimli. He comes into town and stays at the hotel for a couple of days as well. to make sure he kind of gets to be around everything. So it really is a great homecoming. And that's one of those things where people say, like, where are you from? You can hear an AEW every week. If we're in, you know, New York City, I'm announced from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I mean, that's just, it doesn't matter where you live. It's where you grew up and where you have the biggest ties to. And Winnipeg's always going to be that way for me. You know, like I said at the beginning of this interview, I am a Winnipegger through and through, proud of it. And always excited to come back to town, just being around the city, driving around. I mean, it's funny, when I was a kid, I used to take the bus from Westwood to go downtown to Records on Wheels, which was the record store, and the Eaton Center, which was the mall at the time. And it felt like it took forever, like, you know, probably took like 30 minutes or something, 40 minutes. But now it feels like I can get from downtown to Westwood like in 3 minutes. It's like it's not even big, but it felt so big when you're a kid. And now you're like, oh man, like we're already, you know, passing the Grace Hospital.
Right, right.
You know, your home. So, I mean, that's still a great place to come and hang out, like I said.
Well, Chris, we are so darn proud of you, and thank you for doing this city proud, and continued success in everything that you do, because it seems like everything you touch turns to solid gold. Chris Jericho joining us on 680 CJOB.
Ahead of the appearance in Winnipeg, Canada Life Center, AEW All Elite Wrestling.